I don't know about you, but I think, I believe and think that the internet should be a safer place. Well, what if I told you that there's a tool that can do just that? A safer internet where you don't have to monitor every single thing that your kids do or that you stumble across, whether it's a fake site or not a fake site. This tool is called BlockP. It blocks adult websites, but also blocks those fake websites that you might say, hey, this domain is for sale, and hackers try to hack all that information or try to scam people out of the information. It also protects, and it uses AI to protect against other malicious stuff and other garbage that people may stumble across the web. And you know, I thought to myself the other day, why is the internet not a safer place? Well, it's because there's money involved, and some kind of certain content drives more money. Everything has to do with money. And what I like about this tool is that it uses AI to built into the tool, so there's no false positives, and it's the only tool that lets you password set a Chrome extension or even or an Android app settings, etc., so you can bypass it easily. Give it a try. Go to BlockP and download on Google Play or iOS or in your web browser on whatever web browser you use, and let them know what you think of the tool. They always listen to your feedback, etc. Great company, and they have great things ahead of them, etc. Take them out. Take a test one, check it out. It's free, and let me know what you think. And it's called BlockP. Go check them out.
Thanks to our sponsor. This episode of Crazy Fitness Got a Healthy Living podcast was created using Podcastle. Podcastle is truly the easiest way to start your podcast. You can record remote interviews in studio quality sound. Editing is a breeze with a super intuitive and user-friendly audio editor. You can take advantage of their powerful AI tools like Magic Desk to optimize audio levels and remove background noise with just a single click. And I also use Podcastle to automatically transcribe my episodes, which not only lets me share the final transcript with all of you, my listeners, on different channels, but it even allows me to use their text editor to clean up any of the episode content I don't like, and I'll correspondingly edit the audio accordingly. Podcastle is amazing, all-in-one platform to create your podcast or any audio and video content. Give it a try at podcastle.ai. That is podcastle.ai.
I am what you call an indie podcaster. If I run out of money, there's nobody backing Crazy Fitness Guy. How you can support Crazy Fitness Guy is becoming a premium subscriber to Crazy Fitness Guy Premium Podcast. Our first plan is called Low Crazy. You'll get 100% ad-free content with zero sponsorships and zero commercials. The second plan we have is called Crazy. For $3.99 a month, you get access to the full episodes for the full library archives, early access to the shows, all episodes are ad-free, shout-outs on the show, and you will be helping support our mission, and all the episodes are unedited. For the next plan, if you go year-long for $30 a year, they're extremely crazy. You'll get everything in the crazy plan, plus you'll get access to exclusive members' private Facebook group, and bonus ask me about anything episodes, and you get to suggest topics for the show in the Facebook group. So if you want to help support Crazy Fitness Guy, there's three plans starting at $2.99 a month, going up to $30 a year. So it's $2.99. The next plan that is up is $3.99, and then $30 a year. So thank you for all your support for the years, and I hope I can. I'm looking forward to continue making content just for you. Thank you. To become a premium podcast subscriber, click the links in the show notes and see which plan is right for you.
Welcome to Crazy Fitness by Healthy Living Podcast, where we strive to motivate people who are on the autism spectrum to live healthy lifestyles. If you think this podcast is only for people who are autistic, then think again. Whether you are autistic or not, we have a mix of content from healthy living to everything in between that makes up a balanced and healthy life. Autism is our backbone, and we strive to support the autism community by motivating, inspiring, and educating everyone about what autism is. Please welcome your host, Jimmy Clare, who is a motivational speaker, autism advocate, author, and founder of CrazyFitnessGuide.com.
Welcome to another episode of Crazy Fitness Guy Healthy Living Podcast. That's Recall Motivation with Crazy Fitness Guy. Today's guests are two USA Today's best-selling authors, Megan Linsky and Alicia Reyes. And I'm looking forward to talking to them because I've been reading their Academy of Magical Creatures book, and I am so addicted to the series. Let's just say it's been a long time since I've read a series that has kept me up until like super late at night. And I wonder why I haven't been getting sleepy, because I keep on wondering, I want to know what happens to the characters. And it's literally torture when I go to bed. It's like, I need to know what happens, and it's just not fair. And they leave on so many cliffhangers. But so let's welcome today's guest. And I've been like literally just counting down the days to get to meet these two. And I swear they're like at my top favorite authors of all time. So here's Megan and Alicia. So my first question for both of you, my first question for you is, how, with these books, why do you keep, why do you keep messing with the main group, four group of characters? It's just so mean.
Because it's fun. There's no story if the main character doesn't go through trials and tribulations, and the best stories are where you watch the main character succeed at all costs. So that's why we put our characters through what we put them through, because we want people to know that you can be a hero no matter what you're going through. What's your answer to that, Alicia?
I would just echo what you said. I mean, there is no story if they're not going through something and learn something at the end because of it.
Well, so my next question for you guys are, how did you come up with this amazing story? And did you know it was always going to be six books to the series?
We did not. So when me and Alicia first got together and started to co-write, we agreed to write a trilogy of three short books. And by the time we were about halfway through The Fire Prophecy, which is the first book of the Academy of Magical Creatures series, we realized that those were not going to be short, because the first half was the length of the book that we wanted to write originally. So we decided that we needed to expand it to five books. And then after that, we decided that's not good enough either. We need to go to five and or six. Sorry, I am calculia and I cannot, like, I don't do numbers. So Alicia does the numbers for me. But anyway, we just kept on writing, and it kept on getting more and more ideas, and we just could not put it down, and that's where we ended up.
Well, it's really impressive, especially because I can relate. I found for myself, every time when I read another chapter in the book, I can relate to literally all the characters at once. And I was like, I have my smart moments, and then I have, let's just say, I have my Liam moments where I went to, like, last 3 weeks, I was in a total funk, and I was like, how? I was like, I really feel very close to Liam right now. It's like, I really just want to, I was at the point of just like, just throwing everything away. But then I was like, what's the point of that?
Yeah, we all have our Liam moments. I think everybody has that time where they get really depressed and down on themselves and they don't know how to continue forward or what to do. But that's part of why we write what we do, is because we want to inspire people to keep going even when they're in their darkest moments. And I think Alicia can testify to that.
Yeah, 100%. You're just taking all the words right out of my mouth.
I'm stealing everything.
Sure, we are co-writers, so we kind of work on the same wavelength anyway, so...
Yes, and we're pretty much the same person, and we have each other's thoughts all the time and that kind of thing. So it's easy for us to co-write together because we bounce off of each other all the time.
So my next question for you is, how did you guys come up with the, what was one of the main, one of the characters, Madame Doya, because she's just a pain in the butt, and she reminds me of my 12th grade English teacher.
What book are you on? I'm curious.
I'm on the fifth one.
Ooh, what part of the fifth book are you at? I'm really uncomfortable to play very well there.
I'm in like 200 pages in at the moment.
Okay. You haven't gotten to the big reveal yet.
Uh-oh.
But Madame Doya, I don't know. I think you need to take this question, Alicia, because I think that you came up with a lot of her character and backstory.
I don't really know how to answer that, because I think she just came through naturally. Like, there is not really anything I can pinpoint, but I do remember there's a scene in the first book where she's really mean to Sophia, and she's in this story they have elemental power, so Sophia is the main character with fire power, and she comes into this world not knowing anything about it, and Madame Doya is her teacher, sets a candle in front of her on the desk and is like, light it. She's like, I don't know how to do this. So she's really mean to her. That was Megan's idea. And I think from there, I'm like, okay, I understand what this character is supposed to be, because she is supposed to challenge Sophia and kind of be almost like this duality for her, where she's pushing her, but also like Sophia does have the capabilities and everything. So.
Sounds exactly like my English teacher in 12th grade. She's, she pushed me, but I don't know why she pushed me so much, because I was getting straight A's. So, well,
Madame Doya doesn't have to be as mean as she is, and there are reasons behind that that you will learn in later in this book that you're reading.
No one wants to spoil me anything.
No spoilers. We don't do spoilers.
Oh my goodness! So my next question for you: Why do you think the books have done so well, and why is the characters are so relatable?
I think that's like a two-part question. I think our characters are relatable just because we try to make them as real as possible. When I was writing Liam, I really didn't want to put like any tropes or like personality traits on him that are typically in our genre, which is fantasy. I wanted him to be his own person, and I wanted him to be really real about how he was feeling 100% of the time. And I feel like we're like that with all of our characters, with Jonah, Imogen, and everybody who comes on scene and who is a part of our cast. We want to make sure that they are real, authentic people so our readers can relate to them, because it's no fun relating to a superhero who can do all this stuff and never has any problems and is infallible. It's just really, it's kind of a boring story, to be honest. We want to tell stories about real people going through real problems, even if they're in a magical setting. So that's kind of our goal. What do you think about that, Alicia?
To add to that, I think that a lot of our characters are kind of like pieces of us. There are things that are unique to them and things that, you know, we sometimes do have to write outside of our experience, because like, I'm not a man, but we do write from a male point of view because the characters go back and forth in their perspective. But there's a lot of Liam that comes from Megan, because she is a disabled author writing a disabled character, and his disease is fictional, but it is based on Megan's disease. So in that way, it's like some of our personal experience gets put into those characters, even though they're not directly like us. I don't know how to say that.
I think, like, to add on to that, like, I share this joke with Alicia all the time. I'm like, all of our characters are neurodivergent because we're neurodivergent. They just like make neurodivergent choices, and it's really funny to see them interact in like a world that's against them, but then they go out and they build a world that's suited for them. And my personal like illness is common variable immune deficiency disorder, which is abbreviated to CVID, and it is a condition basically where you are born without an immune system, so you have to get treated in order to generate the antibodies you need to survive. So I put that experience into my books, and I think it's really helpful for people to see the spectrum of disability, because people think, oh, disability is just being in a wheelchair. Well, no, it's not. There are all kinds of different disabilities out there, and your experiences of them are going to vary based on who you are and what your world is like. And to answer the second part of your question, which is why these books have done so well, I just think people really liked our characters and they can relate to our characters, because there's people out there who haven't experienced their story in a book. And we get people all the time who are saying, oh, like, I'm disabled, or I have autism, or I have this condition, or I have this experience, and nobody ever talks about it and nobody ever writes about it, but you guys do. So that's why I think people really like our stuff. Would you agree, Alicia?
I do agree. And also, I think we just really put our heart and soul into this series, because we initially were kind of like, we don't care how it sells. Let's just write what we want to write. And so we didn't, you know, worry about what kind of tropes we were putting in. We were picking the ones that we loved and the ones that spoke to us, and then things that aren't necessarily tropey as well. And I think that really shows through in our writing how much we really loved this series and writing these characters.
Well, I definitely can relate to Liam a lot, especially not just but with his disability, or because it's time I got bullied a lot in middle school and elementary school and high school for 8 years, and I remember some people telling me that I'm a freak, basically. And I was like, and I remember that part in the book where Liam overheard everybody saying that he might as well just end it right then and there, because he's a freak. And it's like, oh, these guys are a bunch of cult-hardy ghouls. And it's like, it was like, if I was him, I was like, I would just walked in the room and it's like, screw all of you.
I'm really sorry that you had to go through that. That wasn't fair to you.
Thank you. But yeah, to be honest, because like I like Liam, it's like, I wouldn't really have a story if it wasn't for those bullies, and I wouldn't be where I am today without them. So even though it stinks, but I don't think any motivational speaker can have a good story without some kind of extra challenge, just like the characters in the book.
I think you're right. Go ahead, Alicia.
I was going to say, I love that positive outlook on it. And Megan and I are really into like personal development and stuff like that, so we always try to include that in our stories and try to find the good even in bad things.
Well, I also think that like really successful people can sometimes be those people who are, you know, victims of bullying. I was bullied all throughout elementary school, middle school, and, you know, high school. I had my lunchbox and my stolen food eaten out of it. You know, I was, you know, called names and picked on. You know, after I got diagnosed, I was told, well, your mother should have just aborted you if you were going to turn out like this. I don't think it's an unusual experience, especially for people with disabilities or who have neurodivergence, to be told they shouldn't be here and they shouldn't exist because they don't have the right to exist. But that's completely not true, and that's a lie. And in my opinion, the people who have these kinds of challenges, especially early on, can sometimes grow up to be the most powerful people who make the most change because they've been through so much early on and they've learned how to struggle and how to pursue through it.
I definitely agree with that 100%. There's just some people who, let's just say, they don't know how to treat others like they want to be treated as well. And I kind of see it time and time again in the book with like the elders and whatnot. I was like, everything that they've done is like, it's like karma's going to come around and bite them in the butt at some point or another. I was like, why is this just starting to sound so familiar in this day and age? It's like,
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Thanks to our sponsorship with Deep Stash, You're probably wondering, what the heck is Deep Stash? Well, Deep Stash allows you to learn stuff, learn new stuff every single day. You can become the smartest person in the room with unlimited access to 200,000 plus powerful ideas from top books, podcasts, and more. They have a generous free plan. And if you want to check them out, click the link below in the podcast descriptions. Either or will work. But definitely check them out, because if you're a daily learner like me and like to learn new stuff, I don't always have time to read 11-minute articles or 15-minute articles during the day. So with Deep Stash, I can listen to them on the go while I'm driving the car or on an airplane, etc. So go check out my friends at Deep Stash. You won't regret it.
I think people who are like that, who are the bullies of society, either they haven't been through enough themselves to understand a perspective of somebody's struggle, or they have been through it, but they chose to go the opposite way and become bitter instead of better. Because when you go through things, you only have two choices. You can either excel or you can basically wither. And the people who wither become the bullies.
So my next question for you is, how did you guys come up with all the twists and turns? Because it seems like every single chapter there's like my e-reader like tells me like how much like is left in the chapter, like how many minutes left in the chapter, and it's like it seems like after, let's say for instance, like one chapter I think it said an hour left in the chapter. It's probably based on my how fast I read or how or how many pages I read that day. I don't know. But anyway, it seems like after that, at the last bit of the chapter, it's like you think you're going to know what happens, and then you know, all of a sudden you just drop in, and it's like, and this happens. And I'm like, how many twists and turns do you put in one book?
I'm going to leave that question to Megan, because it's usually her fault.
It is usually my fault because I'm evil. It sounds bad, but I really get entertained by putting characters through the worst circumstances and seeing how they're going to come out of them. You know, like I said, I think some readers really like cozy stories where not much happens and it's really comfortable, but I'm not that kind of reader. I'm not that kind of author. I want to see my characters go through the worst of the worst and come out on top, because it's like a victory for them. And then it becomes like a victory for the reader too. So I really like putting in all this crazy stuff that happens, because it just amps the stakes up and makes things more interesting.
Yeah, funny thing to say about that, because like, to be honest, like I was in the midst of between a few different series, and I was like looking for another book to read. And then when I, and then like, I don't always use my Nook, reading app on my tablet and everything, and I stumbled across the Fire Prophecy, and I was like, this looks very interesting. And I was at the first few pages I got hooked, because I was like only looking for like maybe a book or like a book just to get me through it until another author of mine comes along to and I was like, I'm only gonna get the first book, see if I like it or not. And I'm in the fifth book, and I'm like, this wasn't supposed to happen.
That's kind of what happened when we wrote it too. Yeah. We were just going to write three short books, and the first book ended up being as long as the trilogy we wanted to write. So it definitely, it's like, the story just took a hold of us, and maybe that's why it takes a hold of readers too, because it was meant to be told.
So my next question for you, which characters do you most relate to and why?
I relate to Liam the most, I would say. I write Liam and Alicia writes Sophia, and Liam is my character. I was going through a lot in my life at the time that I was writing Liam, so a lot of my feelings and like internal, you know, monologue was processed through Liam, because even though I wasn't going through his exact same circumstances, I was still reflecting myself onto him, because I needed to figure out what I believed about the world. And I don't relate to Liam as much anymore, because I think I've grown and turned into a different person since that time in my life. But I still think that piece of me is personified in him and the person that he's become by the end of book six, because he goes through his whole arc and his struggles with depression and his struggles with his disease and his struggles to figure out, okay, well, am I worthy enough to keep living or not? And he ultimately finds out, yes, I am, and I can provide value to myself and the people around me. And I think that that is such a powerful message that I was able to learn and process through him. What about you, Alicia?
I think mine would probably be Sophia, but in the same way, I do think I've grown a lot since we wrote her, because we did finish this series like 3 years ago, I think, when Sarah wrote it, 5 or 6 years ago. But at the time, like, Sophia was almost, I don't want to say she was me, because there's a lot about her that is like her own person, but there are parts of her that are like, she would react the same way that I would react, in a way that she's kind of like more meek at the beginning, more kind of like a people pleaser, doesn't really know how to step into her power and things like that. Megan would actually have to like push me for Sophia to even to like stand up to her bully in the book, because that's not something I would have done like as a person at that time. And so yeah, she's kind of like almost like a part of me has been like immortalized in her at that time, but at the same time, like, I have grown out of a lot of that as well.
I think for me, I kind of feel like I have, it's not, I kind of relate to all four. Like, I can relate to Jonah as being like relaxed and laid back. Like, I don't give a gosh darn crud and trying to keep it PG. I thought of another word, but I'm not going to say that. And then Liam, there's kind of like different personalities of Liam that I can relate to, where I was in a depressed mood at one point or another during the bullying, and I just hated every aspect of everything. I just had like this huge, big, dark cloud over me. But then there's other times where like Liam seems like really cool and laid back, and is like, oh, why? It's like, why can't I be cool? And then Sophia, I can relate to a lot, where sometimes I can't always handle the word no, depending on like certain things, like no from a company for certain things. I'm not going to give a specific example because I'll just go on a rant on that. So sometimes it's that. And then Imogen, I would say I really relate to her because I do have some of my genius moments, and then sometimes I do not have my smart whatsoever. And it's like, how can this possibly be? I can relate to all four characters at the same time.
I think it's because they're all pieces of each other. I mean, they're all different people, but they're all really close friends. And they so reflect that love and a genuine friendship for each other at all times. So even though they can be total opposite, they're also identical kind of in a way.
And I just had to, before I ask you the next question, I have to say that Haley character, she is really just plain evil.
She's not very nice.
Does anything ever happen? Does something happen to her that, like, does karma come around to bite her in the butt somewhere? And
karma will always come around to our characters.
Well, it's always like karma around for the good guys, not the ones who just keep beating them up, though.
We have a saying in Legends World that there will always be a happy ending by the end of book six, but there's going to be hell to pay for the main characters to get to the end of book six. So they always have a happy ending, but there will be a price to pay to get to that happy ending.
You guys ever see having a book seven?
Not in that series, because Sophie and Liam's story is done, but they do. Okay. A little bit of a spoiler alert. They will come back in another series. So the Prison for Supernatural Offenders series, you will see them after their journey in the Academy of Magical Creatures series. So it follows some other characters in this world, but they kind of make some cameos.
So in total, how many books have you guys written so far?
Together or apart?
Together.
Together we have
universe, like, because everything kind of connects anyway, even if we only do it
So together we have 6 in the Academy of Magical Creatures series and 5 in the Prison for Supernatural Offenders series. They're set in the same world. Some of the same characters cross over. And then Megan has 6 in the University of Sorcery series. So she wrote that on her own, but it still is in the same world. And then I have 5 right now in the College of Witchcraft series, which is also that in that same world.
Jeez, don't you ever guys get tired of writing?
We get tired, but not tired of writing. We'll keep writing till we die, I think.
Yeah. I co-author a book with like 365 other authors in the book, and it was just like a kind of like a daily quote book, and I'm contemplating of writing my own book just about myself and what I went through. And somebody said to me, "Is like, you're not that interesting at first." And he's like, interesting. Well, I was like, I wouldn't say I'm Tony Robbins interesting, but I was like, I sure as heck, I would find it interesting if I was my own reader. Interesting enough.
Well, I think everybody has a story to tell, and if you want to write a book, then write a book. It doesn't matter how they tell you if you can do it or you can't do it. People told me I couldn't write books. And like, look where I am now. I'm writing books. So
I was literally going to say the same thing. Being on the same wavelength. I was going to say everyone has a story to tell, and I am sure that yours is amazing.
Well, one thing I really appreciate about the books is that it doesn't reach at the reader, because I've read a lot of books in my life, and I'll just say there's some books that doesn't just take you on a journey. They like preach at you, say, "Hey, this is this. You're doing this wrong. Everybody's wrong at this." And I like books that take you on a journey, help you kind of escape from. I'm gonna say escape. I mean, entertaining, because I just feel like in this day and age, it's just so many things that are just like kind of, like a better reference, black and white, so to speak.
Mm-hmm. It's funny that you say that, like, we're not preaching, because we'll get reviews that are like, they're preaching their woke agenda. And I'm like, okay, if having disabled characters makes us woke, I guess we're woke. I'll take that with pride.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Did you know Crazy Fitness Guy is not backed by any corporate company and is just a one-person show? Well, there's this term around the podcasting community called indie podcasters. I'm an independent podcast creator. So because I'm not backed by a huge, big corporate company, well, if I run out of money and everything else, Crazy Fitness Guy would no longer exist. No website, no podcast, no nothing. If you want to help support the show and keep our lights on, consider becoming a premium podcast member of Crazy Fitness Guy's Premium Podcast. You get behind-the-scenes access, early access to shows, private Discord server, and premium Discord roles, and exclusive behind-the-scenes access. Plans start at $3.99 a month or $30 a year. Honestly, I don't really see that, because like, just from my point of view, just because like, I can, because like, yeah, so for someone being disabled and whatnot, and someone from me being autistic, I was like, no, I can relate to a lot of this, and I appreciate that these characters have their own challenges. And there's people on the reviews. I think a lot of people are just trolls these days, especially on the internet.
Well, I can relate to what you say about a lot of issues being black and white, because I do think our world is very polarized today. I think it's very hard for a lot of people to see from other people's points of view. And we do put lessons into our novels, but the thing about our lessons is that the characters will learn something about themselves, and then it's like the next chapter that what they learned is turned on their head and they have to learn all over again. And I don't think it's polarizing or offensive or woke to put a disabled person into your book, or any kind of person really, because these people exist. The world isn't split up into this kind of people and that kind of people, and this kind of people is the only kind of people that are allowed to be in stories. The world is diverse and wide, and if that person exists somewhere in the world, they can be in a fantasy novel, and it's not weird and it's not offensive.
I think I get offensive when people say that is like these people are not normal. What's the word? Like, what is normal in any sense of anything anymore? It's like,
such thing as normal.
Yeah, the only thing I think is normal is the normal setting on my washing machine, and that's it. And even that, I don't even know what normal does on the washing machine. Still brings my clothes anyway, so what the heck? I don't touch that button, it will just self-destruct or something, I don't know. So my next question for you is, what makes you keep writing books, even though sometimes you get mixed reviews on them?
We don't listen to the reviews, so yeah, I don't get that. Like, every now and then we'll see a review, this, you know, not on purpose or whatever. Like, we have our audiobooks up on YouTube, so every now and then we do have to go check those comments, make sure that people are asking questions so that we can respond to them. So we do see some of the not so nice reviews there, but we've done a lot of work to not let it get to us and just be like, you know what, if they don't like this book, it's not for them, and that's okay, because there are people like you who really appreciate our work and we're writing for you and not for them.
Yeah, I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm going to write what I'm going to write, and if you don't like it, that's too tough for you, but I'm going to continue to do what I was born to do and what I was put on this planet to do, and that's write books. And a lot of these silly reviews, I do think they're trolls, and I do think they're people who don't know what they're talking about. I got a review on my University of Sorcery series one time where my main character has the same exact disability that I have, and she treats herself using the subcutaneous injections that she has to get every week, and she has to use like syringes in order to do it. Well, I got a very big long review, this person complaining that people with my disease can't use syringes, and I obviously didn't do my research and I didn't know what I was talking about. And I had to reply to this person being like, I have this disease. This is something that I go through on a daily basis. And yes, I do take these. And this person, of course, deleted their review because it made them look like they were not eligible instead of me. And a lot of the one stars, sometimes you'll go through them and you'll be like, well, this is wrong, this is wrong, and this is wrong. You didn't read the book. You just wanted to complain about it. So I really don't care if people have a bad opinion of my book or a bad opinion of anything that I write about, because this is my story and this is Alicia's story, and we write for the people who need our stuff. We don't write for every Tom, Dick, and Harry that's out there.
I like that you said that, because, you know, for my podcast, I know who my audience is. I have a specific target. I don't like the word target audience, but my specific niche audience, I'm going to rephrase that. And but I do cater to as many people as possible, but not to every single person, because like maybe some of them likes politics. I hate politics. Mm-hmm. Some of them like all about religion. I don't go over religion. But my point being is that I felt bad for this podcaster I came across in one of the podcast groups I'm part of. He only started his very first episode the other day, and he had so many one-star reviews on, and it was because he was approaching on this competitive niche. And I was like, oh, they must feel threatened by you if you only have one episode. And I was like, what the heck? It's like a bunch of trolls. It's like, I said to them, I was like, I would report them to Apple and Spotify. I'm gonna be shocked if they have like something in their policy about fake reviews and being trolls. And it's like, go report them. It's like, maybe they'll take them off for you. Because Apple's so strict.
Yeah, I think too that it doesn't matter how much you try to please everyone, you're not going to, because someone's gonna be upset. You know, someone's going to be like, oh, she's trying too hard, or she's not authentic enough, or whatever it is. Like, trying to please everyone is never going to work. So might as well, like, be yourself and be the best at being you.
I mean, like, literally, if I try and make every single podcast perfect, I don't think I could ever maintain it, because, or keep doing it, because I did literally get every rid of every single arm, or to get rid of every single pause, or every single connectivity hiccup. And like, I can't do it. That'd be literally impossible. I was like, I can only control for my internet. I can control for everyone else.
No, and they're like, we are really perfectionistic, and we really try to not leave errors in our books, but there are some errors, because it doesn't matter if we had a team of 100 people, we're never going to be able to catch every single thing that's there. There's always going to be something that slips through, and that's okay, because art is meant to be abandoned, not perfected. So as long as you're creating it, that's the important thing, and that you don't quit, you don't stop.
What I was really shocked about in the series is when it said that one side doesn't leave art has any merit to schools and whatnot. I'm like, how can that possibly be? It's like, if I didn't have art, I was like, who knows where I'd be today? My art was my escape from the bullying, actually during in this school days. I was like, well, if I didn't have art class, holy, I was like, I don't know if I'd still be here.
Yeah.
So my next question for you is, whose idea was it to create Haley and the way she is?
I think we both kind of had a hand in Haley, to be honest.
I think Haley is kind of one of those tropes that you're always going to kind of throw in, because she's the bully of the series, and you need someone, like characters there to challenge the main characters. So we can be like, hey, Haley is being mean, let's do something about this. And then it challenges the characters to come up with unique solutions and kind of even sometimes question things about themselves and make improvements for themselves.
I think one of the hard parts about reading the series is when stuff always happens to the good guys, especially with the just the magical creatures getting hurt, or not to give a spoiler or anything, but something happens to Imogen that you just like, let's just say, almost got rid of her.
I think that's reflected in the real life, because look what's happening to the good guys now. The good guys always have some sort of opposition, and in fact, they usually have the most opposition, because they're doing the right thing when everybody else wants to do the easy thing, or the thing that everyone else is doing, or the thing that's popular, instead of standing up and being like, no, this is what's right. Because I think when you're a good guy and you speak up on what you believe, and you're going to get opposition from people, not even people who disagree with you. There's going to be people who come in who are like, don't rock the boat. And those don't rock the boat people can be a bigger obstacle than the people who are actually against you, because they want to maintain the status quo. But that's not what a hero does. A hero fights for change.
I definitely agree with that 100%. I'm more of a person who likes to rock the boat on many different things. I kid you not, I've been saying on this show for many years that there needs to be more fitness programs for people with extra challenges. Mm-hmm. And the other day I found out my workout platform that I use at home started having a trainer who's in a wheelchair. And I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. It's like, this is like ground level stuff, because I haven't seen anybody else done it. And I admitted on social media, it's like, I could be wrong that there's maybe someone else has done it before, but I haven't seen many of them.
I know there's a guy on Instagram who does workouts for people with cystic fibrosis, but that's the only thing that I've heard of, because people, I think they automatically assume, oh, you're disabled, so you don't work out, which is not true, because I grew up as an athlete. I go to the gym all the time.
I'm literally in the gym. I'm literally working out like 6 days a week. It was the time in my life I did 9, but I was like, why? Why am I torturing myself? I don't know. I thought maybe it was cool at times, and my lucky number is 9, actually. It took me 9 times to start a business, and my birthday is on October 9th. And I had 9 ear surgeries. So my next question for you is, do you ever see yourselves having, like, bringing the 4 characters back from the book into, like, another series at some point down the road? maybe like an aftermath of everything, or...
Yeah, we definitely do that in Prison for Supernatural Offenders. They're actually in most of the books in that series. Like, Liam, Sophia, Jonah, and Imogen are constantly coming back there. And there's a reason for that, but we can't tell you because it's a spoiler. So,
and they also make some cameos. In, I know Sophia makes a cameo in Mine, College of Witchcraft. I don't remember if she shows up in University, but you do see some other characters. Oh, yes, Jonah.
Jonah comes back in University of Sorcery.
Interesting. Yeah. I'm definitely going to read them all because I like the characters. I'm always, for me, if I don't have a good book, it's hard for me to keep reading. And I've made myself a list of authors who I literally follow, seeing when they come out with new books and whatnot. And I was like, okay, when this author has a book, I'm going to go get that book. And then if that author doesn't have a book, I'm going to go find to this other author. Like James Patterson, even though I really, really like James Patterson, I wouldn't say I'm tired of his books, but sometimes I get tired of everything like wrapped up with a little perfect bow on it. It's like Alex Cross has completed another case. I'm like, oh, come on. Do you think really that's how detectives can wrap up a case that quick? As like, I don't think so. And that's not with cliffhangers. It's like, I like books with cliffhangers, apparently.
We love cliffhangers. They're in all of our books.
One of the authors on who followed me, my very first followers on Twitter, his name is Luke Murphy. He's written Charlene Taylor. He's also written a couple other books. I've read pretty much all of his books except for one so far, but I thought he had a lot of twists and turns until I read your series. It was like, it literally keeps me on my toes. It's like, did I read that right? They're often this person, and like, this is hard to keep track of. One second, one page, this person's alive, and this other one's dead. Holy crap.
We like to do that. We like to keep our readers on their toes. We don't like our readers to guess what's happening next. We only want to surprise them.
Honestly, the only thing that I gotten right so far in the book was the, I think it was the third book that it happened, or was it the fourth? I think it was the third, or where the, I don't want to say, let's just say Liam Sophia's case. Mm-hmm. I think it was the third one, I believe.
It was the third one.
Yeah. And I only predicted that because it was only the next logical thing that could happen. And then, but then the aftermath of it, I was like, I was not expecting this either.
We like writing court cases too. I feel like they're the court case in every Hidden Legends series. They're just fun.
And sometimes Megan is like, you know what? Readers are going to know the outcome, whether they win or lose their case. They're going to know that they win, obviously, because they're the good guys or whatever. But it's the experience of going through it. That's the part.
I think what's one thing that, like, I think one thing that keeps me, like, what keeps me hooked on the books is that, like, to keep reading and everything, is that they're... Let's just say that you never know what's going to happen. And then what I really find interesting is that when you think that those characters are gone, then they just somehow magically back in the picture. And it's like, oh, that's not fair.
That was weird when they come back up.
Yeah.
Like, we grieved for you, and now you're back. What the heck?
Exactly how I feel. I mean, Imogen feels in book five, and I was like, okay, now I know how she's feeling. It's like this character is gone, and now I'm now they're just back. I'm like,
just the audacity. How dare you?
You know, after the fourth book, I knew I had to reach out to the two of you because I was like, I need them on my show because these books are just too good to pass up. And if people don't read them, that's their own problem. And I'm just amazed that you guys write this, to have a character you get to be off and then come back on, and then you find out why it happened. And it's like, this is like a great TV show. Is that
was Alicia's idea, I will say. That was not mine. So she says I come up with all the evil stuff, but she's guilty of some stuff too. It's not all me.
I'll still blame you for it.
Yeah, you will.
You guys have like a board of like, okay, let's go kill this character off and kill this character off and then come back around. Nah, they're not really dead anymore.
We have outlines, which are kind of the same thing. And the last outline we did for a book was over 20 pages long. And the next one's probably going to be just as long because we talk about like what we're going to do in a series before we even start writing. So we know the ending of book 6 before we even start writing book 1. That's something we do every single time. And I think it really helps us because we always know where the story is going. We're never sitting here wondering, okay, well, what do we do next? Because we always know what we're going to do next.
That sounds tiring.
Sometimes there are surprises. And those are fun because it's like, sometimes it's just, it comes out of nowhere. And it's like, this is a really fun thing for readers to experience. But then sometimes it's like, hold on, we had this thing in book 2. We didn't have like any connection anymore. Now we get to connect that in book 5, and we didn't know about that when we initially wrote it. So that's really fun too, because if we're surprised, you guys are going to be surprised.
So my next question for you is, if somebody, have you ever guys thought of making it into a movie or a TV show? And if so, who would you cast as their care for each of their characters?
We're definitely interested in film. We can't really say that there's anything happening right now, but we talked about it, and I would love to put our stuff into film. I don't know who I would cast because we've talked about doing animation and live action. So we're not sure what way probably want to go with that. There are so many different opportunities that we can go. And I think by the time that we were ready to put something into film, the actors that we would choose now are not going to be the actors that we would pick.
Yeah, I was going to say, when we initially wrote this series 5-6 years ago, we did have our dream cast in mind, and now they're too old.
Mm-hmm.
I would kind of say, if you don't mind me sharing, I would like to see it as a kind of anime a little bit. And the reason why I say that is because maybe you've heard of the show Stranger Things on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where you can see where a lot of time lapse and the characters who are supposed to be young now is very older. Like, and it's not, I wouldn't say it's a problem with some series where that can happen, but something around, like, let's just say there's this series called Alex Rider. Written by Anthony Horowitz, and it's like by a 14-year-old kid spy. But they made a TV show off used to be IMDb, but now it's Freevee, and it's only like 3 seasons. And basically, for like 14 plus books condensed into 3 seasons, and because the actor is now too old to play the 14-year-old spy, I was like, should have went with anime. Because at least if the person's voice, even if they got deeper, it's like, okay, well, anybody's voice can change. So I was like, could have kept with it. Like, for instance, this is other show called The Dragon Prince on Netflix.
I've watched The Dragon Prince.
And there's this one of the main actors who voiced Sokka in Avatar: The Last Airbender. I think he's late 30s or 40s or something.
Yeah, he's pretty old, and he plays a young kid. Like, yeah.
But like, his voice doesn't change, or if it does, like, yeah, he's one of those lucky ones who can. But because it's anime, who really cares if somebody's playing however old? But that, again, that's just my opinion.
I just get away with a little bit more because they're college kids, so they look older anyway. But I think when the time comes, we really have to sit down and consider what we wanted to do.
Yeah, I just want. I know my opinion doesn't give a hoot, but
how is that because you're a fan and we take our fan considerations into perspective when we do anything? You know, we're always in our fan group asking our fans what they want and what they want to see.
But I just wanted to share because I was just kind of pretty bummed at the Alex Rider series, like over in 3 seasons. And it's like, so you condense 14 books and didn't even get to the real enemy of the whole book. And I was like, okay. Oh, that was the series. And I was like, I'm going to finish it up. But I was like, okay, they really should have went anime on this thing. And I was like, because I could, it was a great show, but I don't know. I don't know. 14-year-old spy, actor got old, should have just went anime. I don't know. That's just my opinion. So my last few questions for you are, who's your favorite podcaster and why? And feel free not to say me.
Favorite podcaster. Do you have an answer for that one, Alicia?
I love Catherine Zinkina of the Manifestation Babe podcast. I've listened to pretty much all of hers. So it's a bit woo, but I'm into that. I write paranormal books. Not a surprise. And then I've really been into James Wedmore of Mind Your Business podcast. So he talks about like business stuff, mindset, and I love both of them.
I have to look at the name of my favorite podcaster because I don't remember the name, but I listen to so many episodes.
Well, it's the name of the podcast.
Well, that's the thing, I don't know the name of the podcast.
Oh, you just press.
Oh no, I think we lost Alicia. I think her thing might have went out.
Oh, I'm back.
Oh yay, you're back. I thought you were gone.
Technology is evil.
Okay, I can't find the name of the podcast, but I will tell you, I really like any girl, like kind of in my age group, I like listening to like murder mystery podcasts. And I also really like listening to podcasts about cults and like things like that. I'm like a crime junkie. So that's my thing. That's probably also why some of my ideas are so twisted. Just because like I am really into that kind of crime aspect of stuff. So that's where I'm at with podcasting.
Yeah, my mom watches a lot of NCIS and all the murder mysteries TV shows. And it's like, we really need to have your therapist talking about
it. I had to back off on it because I think if you listen to it too much, it kind of affects your mental state. So I don't let myself listen to too much of it. But every now and then I will, you know, allow myself to listen to an episode or two.
I love murder mysteries as well. And I always kind of try to put some in my books. But yeah, I tried to watch Criminal Minds and it's a great show, but I started having really weird dreams. I like was having dreams about serial killers. I'm like, I don't know if I can keep watching this show.
Yeah, I used to watch Criminal Minds and I got to a point where I couldn't like sleep at night anymore. And I was like, because I noticed from my brain being autistic, it's like a replay in your mind that goes over and over and over again. It's like, oh crap. It's like it's a good thing that I can remember lines of TV shows and movies and whatnot. I find that's cool. But I was like, at the same time, it can also, depending on how gruesome the scenes are or in the book, it's like a thing.
I did find the name of that podcast, by the way. It's called Leaving Eden, and the hosts are Sadie and Gabi. And I really like their content. It's like focuses on cults and things like that. And it's very interesting to me. So I haven't listened to an episode in a while just because I've been so busy because we're producing a lot of audiobooks right now. Like, I think I've released 30 audiobooks this year at least. But when I finally have time, I'm looking to get back into it.
You make it sound so easy.
It isn't because I just feel like this is what I was born to do and this is what I do naturally and this is what I do best. I don't think it's difficult to do what you love. I think what's difficult is continuing to do it despite the obstacles that are in your way.
And my last question for you is, where can people follow you, find you? Where can they find your books? Are they all over the place?
So you can find me at meganlinsky.com, and I am on Facebook as well. And you can find Alicia and me together at hiddenlegendsbooks.com. And our Facebook group is Arenda Academy of Magical Creatures. That's where all our fans hang out. And that's where everybody likes to like discuss fan theories and chill and, you know, be who they are. And Alicia, you want to get your website on top of that?
Yes, I am AliciaRadisAuthor.com. As far as where you can find our books, we're pretty much anywhere ebooks are sold, anywhere audiobooks are sold, and then online you can order our print books, and most bookstores can order them to the store as well.
Awesome. And I'll leave all this stuff in the show notes. I definitely look forward to reading more of your books. I literally got myself into trouble with a few of my colleagues, and it's like, you didn't read my books yet? And it's like, I'm stuck on reading on this series at the moment. Brought out Megan and Alicia. It's not my fault.
You need to tell them that you need to read this and you'll understand why, like, I'm so addicted.
Yeah, since like I have like a big pile up on my reading app that I keep track of all my books, and it's like, oh, some people are gonna get annoyed at me. It's like, why haven't you read my book yet?
Because I'm reading this.
I'm reading this. Not my fault.
You need to read it too, because it's crazy.
Thank you so much for that. And we really appreciate you and asking us to be on the podcast with you and sharing this wonderful hour together.
Thanks for tuning into Crazy Fitness by Healthy Living Podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review. Your reviews help us be discovered by more people all over the world. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast so you get notified of every new show. In the meantime, please connect with us on social media at Crazy Fitness Guy and follow Jimmy Clare at Jimmy Clare Speaker or Jimmy Clare Speak. While you wait for another brand new episode, please go check out crazyfitnessguide.com. Check out the latest blog posts, events, sales, and more. Hope to see you again next time.
Hydro Flask is the best water bottle, in my opinion, because it keeps my water nice, cold, and refreshing throughout the day. And yes, I do drink a lot of water throughout the day, so even though it stays colder for longer, I still like having a reusable water bottle like Hydro Flask, because it just sits on my desk and reminds me, hey, you gotta drink water. And Hydro Flask, it keeps it cold longer, which makes me want to drink more water throughout the day, because, you know, there's nothing worse than drinking warm water. Go to hydroflask.com and use the link in the show notes. And yes, I do get a small commission from Hydro Flask, so, which also helps support the show. So tell them I sent you, use the link below. And yeah, check out hydroflask.com for more information.